that terms becomes a spec, and it's a very big model and using it, a lot of high-level constructs, and so we have to cope with that. And to this morning, I think it's enough talks about why we're going to use VHDL, or what's the reason for using VHDL, and what I like to do is just look at that certain areas that we looked at. VHDL is a hardware description language that a lot of people use in C model as a hardware description language, but you see that the VHDL language has this constructs and modeling power behavior of hardware. A sequential language sometimes is a lot more difficult. Sequential language like C, is, you know, the designer has to actually think about the flow to actually order the code to make it to drive the parallel behavior. But in VHDL, we don't have to worry about it. And it also has constructs that models. Architectural level, of course, this morning Ken has already mentioned that it just addresses a certain range of architectural model. It doesn't do like a performance analysis type probabilistics type of behavioral modeling, but it does allow you to model the architecture of the design. All right, can hear it? Okay. VHDL is a standard language. I think we have to make use of a standard language. People in the industry are already asking about a standard language. People in the design world as well as the test world have been asking for a standard model language. And now we have one. I think that's the one that we should be looking into seriously and start using it. And a lot of talks about using VHDL to model a design, but also VHDL language can be used to model a test environment. And a lot of times, you know, we look at passing on a model in a certain language to another group. And the other group is having to be using a different simulator that might have a different waveform language, even with VHDL. For example, if the group A is using simulator VHDL simulator A, which has a different waveform input language, and group B is using a different simulator, which has a totally different format of input for the waveform. You give them a model, it doesn't do them any good. If we can standardize using VHDL to also model or to write the test environment, that would make it even more powerful. We pass on a model to a different group, we already have a test environment ready. And one of the things that is important is that with the standard language like VHDL, we don't really have to worry about what simulator we're going to be using, providing that the simulator all support the same subset or the full set. This is what we are driving for. And today, it's only a few simulator vendors actually providing a full set of VHDL, and most of them are supporting subset and working towards supporting a full set. And we just briefly mentioned about sharing the model with another group, that's an advantage. And also, in the module design world, we're using a lot of models that is standard off-the-shelf components. And there are a lot of third-party modeling houses out in the market today actually providing standard models. And we can take advantage of that instead of having to worry about doing the model ourselves. And John's group is also looking at providing VHDL internal to the company. That is a big plus. And one of the important things is that, well, we can, using VHDL, we can access to most of the industry standard tools. It would not be tied down to one particular tools that we're using today, and we can easily switch to another vendor if we need to. For example, if CAU world is just such a volatile business, a lot of companies, you know, are coming in and out. If one vendor goes away, and we can easily switch to another vendor. And that is the really the advantage there. When we do the migration, there are many things that we need to worry about. You know, we have to think about what are the things that we have to do before we simply switch. You know, we cannot just say, well, we're going to go to VHDL, and that's it, we go VHDL. I think there was a lot of questions raised this afternoon. How do we worry, you know, handle the existing models and all that? And when we design our environment, we looked at that as part of the criteria that we have to worry about. These are things that we have to take care of too. Even with VHDL, it's a standard language, but there are the VHDL itself is so flexible, as we mentioned this morning. You can define all the different types, the data type, signal type, and when you pass on the model to another group, those are the type definition has to be passed on as well. A bit definition of one model in one simulator can be different than another simulator. You need to pass on that. And another one of the things that from our experience with working with the system we have, and we have to map the type definition between different tools. These are the things that we need to do. And when we start using VHDL model, how do we integrate that with the existing models? We have invested a lot of time into models in the past 20 years, and we have designed to still use the existing models. If we switch to a new system, strictly VHDL, without having to link it to an existing model, that system is not something that we want. So these are things we have to worry about, and you might want to select a simulation system or actually develop something around a simulation system that allows you to accept the new VHDL model that you start developing and the existing model that you already use. Another thing to consider is the learning curve. For someone who understands C, Ada, and even BDS or other hardware description language, going into VHDL is not a big problem. So learning curve may not be a big problem for switching into the new environment. And one of the things to worry about is the modeling style. Of course, we have different tools in our system. Even the simulator takes a good subset of HDL, but the downstream process, like the synthesis, doesn't take all the syntax that the simulator supports. And there's also certain VHDL syntax is not synthesizable. What we need to do is, when we start doing the model, we have to, at this present time, we have to worry about whether this model is going to be compatible with the downstream tools, just like such as all the synthesis tools. One of the problems that we have raised this morning is the VHDL model, VHDL language itself does not support complex timing expression. And what we need to do is to develop, actually incorporate a simulation environment that supports a gate level simulations and with timing, accurate timing information. So even with VHDL, we might want to use a different simulation environment down to the gate level model where we have to worry about timing. Now this is a process that we have developed at local area network engineering. You can start with a VHDL model. We simulate it with system hardware 4, which is a simulator supplied by Genren. This is a VHDL model at the behavior level. We can verify the behavior, verify the functionality of the design going through the simulation process before we fit into Synopsys. This is the system we have today. We actually just acquired the Synopsys about a month or so ago, and we're working with this environment. And with Synopsys, it generates EDIF format netlists that in turn can be feedback into system hardware for gate level simulation. At that time, we'll be using a different library. This is actually a system high-low library for ASIC microcells that allow us to do fault-free simulation at the gate level, model level, also allow us to do fault simulation and the timing simulation. We developed the system hoping to eliminate the need for multiple libraries. Right now, we have DECSIM for fault-free simulation, DECFault for fault simulation, LASER for auto-building for time verification and fault simulation. So we were worrying about four different libraries. It's extremely difficult for the library support group to have to worry about four different libraries. And we are using this environment that we only have to worry about one library for fault simulation, fault-free, and timing simulation. Of course, we have a separate synthesis library, and all those libraries are supplied by the ASIC Center. So, from this environment, we can easily take the netlist, feed back into Spider, and feed right into the ASIC Center process. And of course, at the beginning, having a designer to do a VHDL model, a lot of them have not gone through the training. It's a lot more difficult for them to go through VHDL at this point. And most of the designers used to Genrex GHDL, that's a Genrex Hardware Descriptor Language, which is a little bit the syntax is pretty similar to VHDL in a way. And so we developed a translator to allow a GHDL model and translate into VHDL. So the simulation can be done using GHDL with system high-low. After the simulation is done, the model is proven good, verified. We then run through the GHDL to VHDL converter. We have a VHDL model, and then we can fit right into Synopsys. Then we go through the same route with EDIF going back to system high-low. So that is one way to solve a short-term problem, so not having these designers go through the VHDL training. But in the future, we'd like to bypass that. Talk about the project actually used this. Yeah, this is the process that we just developed. And we've got a pilot project actually using that. We supported a project at LTN. This is the HIMPI project in LTN. One of the chips from the Seagate array. And there was all the models, we have about 20 functional blocks and four levels of hierarchy in that design, that chip. And combining all of them, we counted about 60,000 lines of VHDL code generated by the GHDL to VHDL generator. The GHDL model itself is about 20% less code because GHDL itself is less verbose than VHDL. And after going through synthesis, we get about 55K gates. And we add up the synthesis time. We find that it takes about 5 to 7 days of synthesis time after we have a good model. Of course, the verification process keeps going. You know, we have one functional block done, we go in and we synthesize it, and then we continue working with another functional blocks, and then we simulate with gate level with behavioral models together to do the verification. Now after we done the ASIC process, that is one of the things we have to think about is how can we integrate the VHDL model that we have into a module environment. we put together this process to accept all different types of models. One of the considerations we have for the migration is that we want to make sure that we can preserve all the investment we spent years in developing models. We have a lot of GHDL models we already developed. We have a lot of density models that we developed. And now we're talking about developing VHDL model. And also C models that we mentioned, the Hudson is already started to modeling. And also there are third party company out there like logic automation model and also hardware models. We have a number of high chip, this is GenRes hardware modeler. We have a number of high chip models ready to use. We also have the new LM1000 hardware modelers already in use. So we have a number of models that we have invested a lot of time and money in, so we want to be able to use them. And with this system, we can accept all the different models. This module level model can consist of any of these models. Of course, but with DEXI model, we have to go through an environment that we developed. This is something like a simulation backplane that we developed to link system huddle and DEXI together. So during the system huddle run, we can actually go off and call a DEXI model. But the DEXI actually has to be running as well with this process. So with this environment, with DEXI involved, we have to, we are tied down to the VMS environment. Without this, we can, this environment can be run in the RISC environment. Right. Looking at the future, we VHDL language itself, in some cases, some people think that it's a difficult language to learn. A couple of years ago, at VHDL users meeting, someone said VHDL really means something else. It stands for a very hot damn language. So what we need to do is try to help the designer a bit, and instead of saying that everybody have to learn the VHDL language. There are high-level input environment systems that allow us to link into VHDL. Don already mentioned a number of systems, and we are looking at one called Express VHDL, which is a new product from iLogix. We have looked at StateMate in the past, as an input system that allows us to model a system at a high level and simulate at the graphical level as well. And right now with Express VHDL, they will generate VHDL code. And right now we're working with iLogic and pushing them to give us a switch. When we model at Express VHDL level, we say that we want to generate a model which is Synopsys compatible. So we can easily turn on the switch and say generate me a Synopsys model. And that is what we're pushing. And we will be actually doing a test environment using Express VHDL in the next couple of months. And with that, we can automatically from the graphical level generate a VHDL model that can allow us to go into system hilo and synopsis without having to write a textual VHDL model. Now in summary, VHDL is here. We are using it, and I think a lot of interest in the industry is using it, and most of the leading CAE2 vendors are supporting VHDL. And best of all, finally, we have a standard. That standard is what people have been asking for. And with VHDL, I think that we can really remove the dependency, tool dependency, vendor tools and vendor dependency. And as I mentioned before, that if one vendor, one tool goes away, we can easily take the environment, the model environment we have, and switch from another environment. That's it. Good talk.
Seems to me that simulation strategy is based around pilot how does using VHDL models as your basis move you to a tool that you can?
We're not. Okay. Here's the. Remember, we talked about we have to preserve the investments we already have. And with this system that allow us to link to the existing models that we already have, vaccine model, physical models. And we are not really depending on system high-low. We are going into VHDL, and system high-low right now support a subset of VHDL. And at the same time, this environment allow us to use the existing models. We already have high chip model, we already have LM1000 model, and a lot of high-low jelly bean models. So in order to preserve that, that's the small well, that's not a true statement, because if high-low will support a full VHDL syntax, then there's no reason to switch. Any other questions?
We have one more presentation before we go.